Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, a community that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus. We do this in our daily lives, each day finding God in the ordinary. This is episode 2 of our summer series with that theme, and we're grateful to Jim Taylor, elder and writer living in British Columbia, for his 2 books, Everyday Parables and More Everyday Parables, where he engaged groups of people reflecting on Jesus' parables and ordinary things, and finding God and profound wisdom. Let me share with you the parable of the coffee mug. The optimist, according to a folk saying, thinks the coffee mug is half full. The pessimist thinks it's half empty, but both drink from their coffee mugs. In our time, the coffee mug symbolizes socialization. Truck drivers, teenagers, gray-haired seniors, back-slapping sales reps, harried executives, unemployed transients, all gather over a mug of coffee. They do business. They renew friendships. They simply pass time together. Churches serve coffee after their Sunday morning services, and there may be more genuine communion over that coffee than in the previous hour of formal worship. If Jesus had lived in the 90s, he probably would have raised a coffee mug and said, "Each time you do this, remember me." Parables were Jesus' way of communicating his message using everyday experiences and allegorical stories to teach about how to live together in community. Teachers in those days didn't have classrooms with smart boards and Wi-Fi. They were nomadic, walking through the country, gathering students wherever they went. Jesus encountered so many different groups of people during his public ministry, and he spent time with his disciples, with Pharisees, with large crowds of strangers who were listening to him for the first time. Jesus needed to engage wildly different groups of people, so he told stories that were able to draw in diverse crowds with different points of view. With parables, Jesus told stories that revealed the truth about God's kingdom while simultaneously challenging the commonly held worldviews of many of those to whom he spoke. The precise number of parables in the Bible varies based on different definitions of what a parable is. By some counts, Jesus gave us more than 30 parables in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Others suggest the total number of parables by Jesus is more than 50. The number of distinct parables Jesus offers us is less important than the message they bear. Parables are old. They're like a treasure. Parables are important because they hold wisdom. Parables are a gift. Parables were given to you before you were born. And sometimes parables are hard to enter, even if you're ready. So don't be discouraged. Keep coming back to a parable, and one day it will open for you. Because once there was someone who said such wonderful things and did such amazing things that people followed him. And as they followed him, they heard him talking about a kingdom. But it was not like any kingdom they'd ever even heard of. They couldn't help it. They had to ask him what the kingdom of heaven was like. And one time when they asked him, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like when a person who buys and sells fine pearls, a merchant, goes to search for the great pearl. And when he found the great pearl, he went and exchanged everything for the great pearl." I wonder if the person was happy with the great pearl. I wonder what the merchant is going to do now. I wonder why the seller was willing to give up something so precious. I wonder if the seller was happy with all of his things. I wonder if the seller has a name. I wonder if the merchant has a name. And I wonder what the great pearl could really be. And I wonder what could be so precious that a person would exchange everything for it. And I wonder if you have ever come close to the great pearl. This parable is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 to 46. Another way to hear it is, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." I wonder what is of great value to you. I wonder what you would give up everything for. Jim Taylor writes, I believe that God speaks to us through more than the Bible. The Bible may be about God, but if God is truly creator, so is nature, so is science, so is history. For that reason, I've included in these modern parables some events that would have been inconceivable to the gospel writers. Because I believe that if Jesus were telling parables today, he would so as he did back then, and he would talk about things people knew in their everyday lives. Hear the parable of the coffee and the tea. If you give me the choice between coffee and tea, I prefer tea. I've drunk tea from Darjeeling, Ceylon, China, and Malaysia. I've had black tea, spiced tea, green tea, jasmine tea, and even gunpowder tea. My mother taught me to use water at a rolling boil, preheat the teapot, and steep the tea for 7 minutes. But the very best tea I ever tasted violated all the conventional rules about making good tea. I was a university student on a summer job in the forest inlands from Kitimat on the north coast of British Columbia. A friend and I spent 6 weeks slogging up and down the canyon of the Kitimat River, tallying the timber resources. That night I remember we camped beside a burbling stream, clear as ice and twice as cold. For the first time in weeks, we'd moved beyond the steep walls of the valley carved by the river. Wide blue skies opened out above us. And as we cooked our supper, the rays of the setting sun shone into our campsite and warmed us. I started to make tea. Here, let me do that, said my friend. He scooped fresh water from the stream, threw some nondescript tea leaves loose into the cold water, and perched over our campfire. Cold water, I protested. Wait and see, he assured me. He never did let the water boil. When it started to bubble around the edges of the pot, he boiled the pot off the fire and poured the amber liquid into our cups. I've never tasted better tea. The setting and a hard day's work might have influenced perceptions, but I still think I've never drunk better tea. Many of us take for granted that the English way of making tea is the only way. That's not how they make tea in India, Ceylon, or China, the original tea-drinking nations. In the same way, I suggest we take for granted many religious teachings. We absorbed them back in Sunday school and have never questioned them since. Years ago, the moderator of the United Church of Canada shocked many people when he admitted that he had questions about the common belief that Jesus was directly fathered by God. People reacted as though it was heresy, unthinkable. Why? Perhaps there's only one reason for refusing to consider something new, be it an idea or an experience. Could it hurt me? Could it hurt someone else? Perhaps we fear anything new because it upsets our apple cart. It might cause us to rethink things we've long taken for granted. I suspect we're more likely to be harmed by things that we refuse to consider, even if we ultimately reject them, than by new ideas that we do not consider. Remember the words of Isaiah 43:18-19. God is doing a new thing. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Herein lies wisdom. Thanks be to God. Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.